Splendid in the weather today. Highs of 9 degrees centigrade, lows of 3 degrees centigrade. After some early clouds and rain, that'll clear and we'll have some sunny spells later in the day, which is all good news. And we thank John Wenham for actually passing a wonderful little slip of yellow paper in front of us, which brings us neatly round to our next guest, the awesomely talented retail expert extraordinaire, Richard Christofoli. Good morning, Richard. How are we?
Morning, Alex. Very well, thank you. And you?
Excellent. Always on top form, particularly on Thanksgiving Day, even though we don't celebrate that in the United Kingdom, because we're all gearing up for Black Friday.
Indeed, we are.
We've shared with Shaylee McKenzie in the studio. Obviously, Shaylee brought the line that Black Friday, called Black Friday, because it's the moment when retailers actually go into the black as opposed to being in the red as far as their profits are actually concerned. So that's fine. We understand that. But The Guardian this week says it makes no sense for Black Friday to be transplanted to Britain whatsoever. There's nothing special about the day in the British social calendar. And yet, from your own perspective, Richard, clearly with an eye for the bargain, research from Debenhams has revealed that the amount of preparation and planning shoppers are actually putting into making sure they get the item they want is just becoming, it's like a military operation out there.
It is. It really kickstarts the Christmas season. It's firmly established itself now in the UK retail calendar. I suppose in response to the Guardian thing, it's worth remembering, you know, it's the last big payday before Christmas. So, you know, this really does kickstart the season. So there is a reason for it to exist in the UK in a kind of weird kind of way.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I'd also sort of cite the Huffington Post, basically, which says it's human to feel worried about missing out when you're surrounded by messages claiming that you need to take advantage of these amazing deals. Is it FOMO as well, that fear of missing out, that suddenly we're looking at what we're purchasing in terms of the events there, whether it's white goods, whether it's handbags, whether it's beauty purchases, etc. I don't want to miss that bargain.
I think there definitely is a bit of that, you know. However, I think, you know, customers are kind of like voting with their feet and indeed with their clicks, and just basically saying, you know, I know a good deal when I spot one, and let's get in on it. And we see it. So tomorrow will be six times as busy as a regular Friday in stores, over six times as busy as a regular Friday online. So for us, it's going to be significant.
Shaylee, you work in retail,
isn't it? I was literally about to say, somebody who works in retail, that is just so intimidating. And I guarantee you, the customers that come into my store tomorrow will not be nice.
Oh, no!
Because it does get rather, rather vicious.
Richard, think about the people. Think about the shopkeepers.
Oh, yeah? My goodness.
We don't see that. There were those scenes.
It's probably a good thing. August.
We've never seen that in any of the Debenham stores. It's actually a real party atmosphere in store. So over 1,000 of our head office colleagues are out in store tomorrow on the front line helping our colleagues. We've got over 8,000 more staff in store tomorrow. And actually, you know, loads of our stores have DJs in. Many are open till 9 o'clock, 10, 11 o'clock at night. It really is a party atmosphere, I have to say. And you know, I've worked in store on Black Friday, and I have to tell you, it's a great vibe. For us, it's a bit like a big party day, really. So we love it.
Richard, clearly, you're putting a whole new
perspective.
I'm
working in the wrong place.
Clearly.
You're working for the wrong
place.
Exactly. So in terms of this particular research, Richard, have we seen any differences in terms of the shopping habits of men and women? Are people going for different things? I mean, are basically men likely to go for the personal technology, or women more for the beauty products? Any sort of line on that?
I mean, there are some nuances, obviously. You know, those are more obvious. I suppose the thing that fascinated us was kind of like the fact that over 40% of men intend to take either part or the whole day off, as opposed to 25% of women. But women are much more pre-planned. So guys are thinking about this 2 or 3 days in advance. Women are planning their shopping mission with military precision tomorrow 2 or 3 weeks in advance. So that's the big differences we see. And interestingly, actually, compared with the national average of waking up at about 6 a.m. tomorrow, Siren FM listeners are kind of like on average at about 2:42 a.m. So you guys are real early birds from the research that we've seen. So setting the alarm, getting online, lining up those bargains and planning their day ahead.
It's always the Lincoln Way, 2:42 a.m. to actually get that early bargain.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Shaylee, any thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, no, the one thing that I sort of live by when it comes to these kinds of events is my dad once told me that it's only a bargain if you were going to buy it initially. And that's something to bear in mind, especially when debt is at an all-time high. Just bear in mind that it may look like an amazing deal, but if you weren't going to buy it initially, it's not worth it.
Valid point, I think, Richard.
I mean, well, it's interesting in terms of what we see, which is, you know, kind of people think, oh, it's all about Christmas and about gifting. Over half of the stuff that's bought tomorrow will be people buying for themselves, for giving themselves a treat. And it's not just about that Christmas gift. It will be, it's a great day to get ready for the Christmas party. So party dresses, fragrance, cosmetics, all of those categories in terms of kind of like, you know, looking and feeling great in the build-up to Christmas, also really massive for us. So, and do you know what? I think treating yourself every so often is allowed.
Yeah, I go with that. We looked at the top 10 purchases. I mean, are we going to see any surprises? Will it be personal technology at number one, and then toys, coats, beauty purchases, boots? It's interesting, actually, but I suppose winter season, designer clothes, box sets and computer games, handbags, soft furnishings, and in at number 10, white goods. Will that pretty much follow the same sort of pattern in Debenhams as well?
I think, well, traditionally, Black Friday was very much a big sort of tech and electronics day. And a few years ago, customers said to us, do you know what? Come on, Debenhams, you can inject a bit of fabulousness into this, can't you? So that's really where the whole kind of beauty, cosmetics, fragrance, designer clothes, handbags thing really kicked in. So all of those categories will be huge for us tomorrow. You know, we'll expect to take over 250,000 orders online. Our biggest hour is 8 to 9 p.m. in the evening. We're going to be taking over 300 orders a minute at that stage. So, you know, it'll be significant for us, but it will be those types of things that people are buying.
And presumably behaviour should be a positive thing. We're speaking in a few moments to Kate Nightingale, an expert in the psychology of shopping and the notion that actually, you know, there are various types of slow-moving and slow rage.
Shoppers, yeah.
The notion of actually being, it's so irritated by somebody who's actually walking at a very slow pace. You need to just step aside to
that.
That's
a thing. That's a thing.
Yeah, the suggestion has been in certain supermarket areas and super shopping centres, they're introducing fast lanes for pedestrians.
Almost like a bike lane?
Sometimes, Richard, I just think we need to take the Debenhams example and actually just have some DJs and have a fun time going from that sort of perspective. It's
I agree with you. Take a break. Have a coffee. Have a glass of Prosecco. Enjoy yourself.
Exactly. So where can people go to find out further information about what we've been talking about today and indeed the whole Black Friday thing related to Debenhams or indeed other stores?
So all of the information for us is available at debenhams.com, all the latest offers, store opening hours, everything is on there. You'll see there's a great range of stuff to enjoy.
This is good. So to the final question then is our kind of consumer matters question, really, because it's a new format that we've introduced. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephoning link with us on the programme today, Richard Christofoli?
It's been amazing. Thank you very much indeed. Absolutely loved it.
Nice. And will you be kind enough to join us again? I don't know, post-Christmas, Boxing Day, post-New Year sales, will you come back and speak again about consumer habits and so on?
Always willing to talk about consumer habits. Love it.
Yay! skaters and dodgers and bulldozers and tutters. No, it's not another range of jargon that's come through to the system, but it is something which certainly is likely to impact the whole notion of slowed rage, a new phenomenon which seems to be endemic around times such as Black Friday and indeed the Christmas shopping. Now, to address the challenges of this and hopefully provide some superb suggestions in terms of coping with the whole thing, we're delighted to welcome a psychologist specialising in consumer fashion, retail, hospitality and communication, the founder of Style Psychology and indeed lecturer at the London College of Fashion, the amazing Kate Nightingale. How are you, Kate?
Thank you very much for this beautiful introduction. I'm very well.
Excellent. Good to speak to your good self as ever. Now, this particular thing, skaters, dodgers, bulldozers and tutters, we used to road rage, but clearly if it's hitting the streets as well and people are sort of sauntering through the system where people have to move on, these are challenges which, I don't know, they're not going to help the festive season, are they?
Certainly not. You know, we live in a very sort of fast culture and everything is demanded of us immediately. You know, we have to respond to emails immediately, to texts immediately. And, you know, and certainly in that moment where we're doing Christmas shopping, there's a lot of demands on us, and especially on women. You know, we're being expected to deliver magic to the children and, you know, the rest of the family. And people that tend to sort of walk slowly or sort of respond to their texts or whatever in the middle of sort of shopping center, then certainly it gets us a little bit annoyed. But, you know, but there's always solutions for that. And as you very well pointed out, there's very four different types of people and how they sort of trying to omit, you know, people that either are talking on their phones or, you know, or just sort of enjoy the way they're shopping in a slow manner. So
we'll just actually drill down a little bit into some of the details here. Skaters, for instance, are defined as those who try and elegantly manoeuvre their way through a crowd, gracefully and politely avoiding those in their path. About a third of us actually try to go through that process. The dodgers...
I certainly belong to that, you know, part, so I'm very happy that MasterCard did that research and called it like that, you know, elegantly manoeuvre. I really like that.
Kate, I would expect no less from your style and appreciation. The dodger, of course, it seems to be the most popular, with just over half of folk moving paths to avoid slow walkers, with 40% actually removing themselves out of the way until they actually carve their own fast lane. There's no stopping the dodger, really, is there?
Certainly not, but you know, all those kind of good ideas of fast and slow lanes that are being introduced all around the world, including the fast lane that MasterCard MasterPass has introduced in the Lakeside Shopping Center, those are some kind of solutions that we can you know, introduce into the world to be able for everyone to really enjoy the shopping the way they want, or just enjoy sort of walking around the city in the way they want.
I suspect the least liked of all the categories will probably be the bulldozer, not appropriate for any form of politeness or etiquette at all. 11% of folk actually pushing people out of the way, which means that there could actually be, if you translate it into hard numbers, 3 million shoppers willing to fight their way through crowds to get what they need. Wouldn't they just be better shopping online, Kate?
I certainly think that they would, but it's very not kind. It's not really a Christmas spirit that that I'm looking for. It's the kindness and the lovingness and the compassion that, you know, that people should be sort of introducing a little bit more into their Christmas shopping, and everyone will be a little bit happier, and I'm pretty sure more efficient as well.
And if we look for what goes around comes around, surely if you're just going to ramp up the stress levels on that basis, clearly it's not going to lead to a happy time. It's a karma, if nothing else.
Oh, well, possibly.
Yeah, well, I mean, finally, there are, of course, the people who will simply, oh dear, the tutters, who will grumble loudly, unhappy about the situation, but they actually won't do anything about it. Strangely, part of the British culture, maybe, in many ways, Kate.
Quite possibly. But, you know, every person reacts differently to a stressful situation like that. Christmas shopping, and especially around Black Friday, it's already quite stressful and quite demanding. Yes, online shopping is a solution, but at the same time, you know, just being a little bit more humane in the way we sort of treating others, and a little bit more considerate, or, you know, or basically using our own fast lanes in some way or another, that's always a good solution. And if all fails, at least go to Lakeside Shopping Center. They they do have that fast lane for this week, so hopefully you can relax a little bit more.
That is true. Of course, from my own perspective, I would say the other additional solution is get up very, very early so you actually get to the shops before the crowds have actually started.
Well, I don't think that applies anymore around the Christmas time. Oh, everyone dear. Is thinking exactly the same way.
Well, we can ramp it up. We start at 4 a.m. in the mornings, or 5 a.m., who knows. The average walking speed from this particular survey, 4.59 kilometres per hour. Yeah. Window shopping, I mean, that used to be very much part of the whole shopping experience, that you would stroll from shop to shop, have a look at the windows and so on. Is it a case of we've now seen a manifestation of almost the hunter-gatherer instinct, whereby it doesn't matter what your gender is, you know what you want to go for, you're going to go straight for that, and that's what you're going to succeed in getting?
Yeah, absolutely. We are a little bit more decisive, and that's usually thanks to online shopping. So a lot of people are actually doing a lot of previous research online before they're buying in store. So there are certain types of products that, you know, we're not very willing to buy online, but we are willing to research them and sort of find a faster, more efficient way of going around the shops. But to be honest, in my own opinion, that just shows a sort of quite a low customer experience for people in the stores, rather than delivering something that's nicer as an experience so people can browse in stores, not only online. Then that would be better. And certainly that idea with fast lanes, I would love seeing that normally in the shopping centres, not just, as a part of the sort of weekly campaign.
Interesting. I mean, in terms of the statistics for the regions, Scotland and the North East are in the slowest category of slow walkers, east of England in third position. And not surprisingly, perhaps the South East and the North West are the fastest walkers, with, of course, London as being most prone to slowed range.
Yeah, certainly. You know, you're always going to have regional differences and certain aspects in mentality and the lifestyle. And, I don't know that much about northern culture, but from what I'm hearing, they're a little bit more relaxed and easygoing with their lives. Whereas, you know, us Londoners, unfortunately, we're very fast moving and all the time have to deliver everything yesterday, basically.
I'd be intrigued to find out what the statistics would be for other countries, because given the traditional notion that in California everybody's more laid back, whereas in New York you're much more up and at it and go for the whole thing, also other European countries, do you think this could be rolled out by MasterCard to find out what the situation is with shoppers in other countries?
I would certainly love to see that myself, but I'm not entirely sure if they're doing something along these ways, but I would love to see those stats. I know, for example, that in China they have introduced fast and slow lanes normally in their cities for mobile users, so people can either just go to work or use their mobile while not looking at how they're walking. So
perhaps we need to utter the mantra, be calm and be kind, when we're actually engaging in the shopping scenario.
Absolutely.
In terms of the actual details, Kate, people listening to this, where can they go to find out further information, MasterCard, obviously, and indeed the survey?
There is definitely information going to be mentioned in some possibly online scenarios, but otherwise onto MasterCard channels.
Keep your ears peeled for that. I'd also give a plug for stylepsychology.co.uk. It's a very useful website for just finding out a whole variety of other bits and pieces. Because obviously, Kate, you've got your finger on the pulse when it comes to style shopping, retail therapy and other such stuff. Two final questions for your good self. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today? Has it been okay for you?
Absolutely.
So the next critical question, it's kind of customer satisfaction, really, the continuous feedback. Would you be kind enough to return, probably in the new year, and keep us appraised of how shopping habits, retail and matters arising from there are developing? Will you be kind enough to come back?
Absolutely, my pleasure.
Excellent. There we are. You see those two answers given, which we like to hear those responses, positive responses, way forward. There was a message which we said earlier we would actually share with the listener about a special bonus event that John Wenham, he who visited us earlier in the studio,
kind of said he had a cold, sniffled a little bit, and we banished him. We said,
forever.
Go away. We did. We said, go away. It's all about the St. John the Baptist Christmas Fair at St. John's Church Hall, Loughton Way, Ermine, on Saturday the 2nd of December between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. So actually, you could do the Lincoln Food and Gift Fair at the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society.
Nice.
And the St. John the Baptist Christmas Fair. Crafts, games, stalls, refreshments, the Ermine School Choir and Ermine Voices. And a certain chap called Father Christmas is supposed to be arriving at 11:15 a.m. if you're interested from that point of view. Exactly, obviously. A bit like Lincoln Shoppers. If you want to find out more information about the Christmas Fair, contact Father Stephen Hoy, the contact number 01522 525621. That's 01522 525621. Would you like to hear a little flavour of some of the music of what Kevin Maguire is famous for? And we will be speaking to in a few moments from now. It's a little touch of I Belong with Kevin Maguire, taking us around to World TV Day.
If you took away the only part of me that's truly yours, it would never be enough. Take me back to how I was before I met you, 'cause you showed me how to appreciate what I've got. Apologize when I do something wrong. You know from you I learned a lot, and I hope it's clear through the words of this song that you are more than just a friend to me. 'Cause every day when all my faith is gone, you were the
TV Day. Yes, in the Screenbows culture, we still actually celebrate the joys of that box in the corner, although it's obviously changing in so many ways. And to address some of the findings of the World Television Day and the survey that's been commissioned by global television leader Samsung, we're delighted to welcome a presenter extraordinaire and indeed a general all-round superlative freelance journalist, Richard Arnold. How are you, Richard?
Thank you very much indeed. You mean I spread myself very thinly?
I like to think of you as versatile.
Kyle, across the base. Really.
I will take that. I will take that, absolutely. So good morning to you.
Marvellous. Good morning. Now, in terms of discussion, I've already spoken to some of my colleagues here at the University of Lincoln, and shock was the only way to describe the feeling that Only Fools and Horses actually beat Fawlty Towers in terms of top sitcom. We've had people who have almost been in tears. They cannot believe that that's in place, though. I mean, was this a shock to yourself?
Well, it is a shock to myself when I think that sitcoms, which used to be the dominant genre on television, of course, many years ago, and that's reflected in the Samsung
Where's
findings.
On the buses?
Well,
I
mean, how far back do you want to go? Because you and I are clearly of a similar age. I can almost remember Olive in those bins
exactly.
On the buses. But, I mean, you make a very valid point, actually, when you look at the favourite sitcoms, as revealed by this survey that you mentioned. Only Fools and Horses, as you say, is number one. Fawlty Towers in its second place, which clearly still resonates with the public, despite the fact, of course, it had so few episodes when you look back. Blackadder, Dad's Army and Father Ted. Father Ted being the most current one of them all. So I don't know what that says about the state of the nation. I mean, we obviously still like a titter and a belly laugh, but they're vintage sitcoms that still strike a chord with the nation when it comes to what makes us laugh. What I also found interesting about this as well is that documentaries are now the dominant TV genre or preferred alongside crime drama, as opposed to the likes of soaps, which are down to like 15% compared to 41% for documentaries, which is, I think that casts quite an insight into our habits, because obviously soaps, of course, generally lead the ratings battle. We're fast approaching Christmas, of course, which is a rich seam to plunge when it comes to great telly. And soaps would appear to be sliding down the scale, and we seem to be immersing ourselves much more into documentaries and, as I say, the harder, rougher and tougher crime dramas.
Have the rumours of television's demise then been overly exaggerated? I mean, I
Clearly
speak
not.
To my students and they say, oh, we never watch TV, yet they'll actually watch the Game of Thrones, they'll watch the Westworld, etc., on their mobile devices. But that whole sense of actually having a television set, is it just a case of the variety is providing us with even more choice in the 21st century?
Well, that's it. With the likes of the technology now and the kit that you can get, it's seamless access. Every seat is the best seat in the house when you think about it. When you do gather around a television, which your students say they don't do necessarily as a family, but then you look at the ratings for something like Strictly and I'm a Celebrity, when you're looking at 10 to 12 million a night for these sort of shows, then clearly we still, as a nation and across generations, are still sitting down in front of the television. And I used to think that the proliferation of channels and content would ultimately mean the demise of television. But what we have is more, bigger, and better. Those of us that choose to actually sit down in front of the television now have technology in front of their eyes that they could hardly believe or scarcely believe when you used to huddle around my equivalent TV set when I was a nipper, which frankly you'd get more warmth off a single bar electric fire. And now you look at these great sets and shows like The Blue Planet, which is the number one show of the year, of course, according to Samsung's survey. It's a runaway, or should I say swim away, a success, because we have the technology. Now, you can't watch something like The Blue Planet on a mobile device at all. I remember the same thing happened to me when I was watching Mad Men, or immersing myself in that. And I started to watch it on a train at like 9 o'clock in the morning. And I thought, well, this is not working for me. It was so lush that I wanted to actually immerse myself in the experience by being in my own living room and sit there in front of like a 40-inch, 50-inch, whatever television you've got. Size isn't everything, I can assure you. But nevertheless, it can help when you're watching something like that. So my habits have changed a little, but along with the rest of the nation, I'm binging, I'm watching box sets, and I'm still there on the dance floor every Saturday night watching Strictly Come Dancing.
And in terms of binge watching, clearly we're looking at Downton Abbey making it into the top three of the all-time favourite box sets, behind Breaking Bad and Game of Thrones at number one.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd go Westworld. Yes, I think Westworld is a superior series somehow.
Well,
but there we are.
What I found encouraging about this survey for World TV Day is the fact that TV is still very much something to talk about. However you watch yours or whatever you're watching, it's still that unifying element for us Brits when it comes to chatting by, I hate to say water cooler, it's such an American expression, but you know what I mean? When we get into the office or wherever we are the next day, it's still TV to talk about, and that's the key. Content will always be king.
So in terms of the actual statistics here, let's look finally at these areas here. One in five folk surveyed actually say they watch more hours of television than they did 5 years ago. 15.84 million homes have two or more TVs in 2017. Would you say that the future of television is still healthy and positive, and we won't all switch to radio overnight?
Radio, as you know, is also... The great thing about it is radio and television and stuff sit alongside each other nicely now. And both of them, obviously, are growing hugely. Their reach has never been bigger. I don't think TV's got anything to worry about, but with radio, you're always talking about TV and what's on TV. So I'd say they're mutually compatible.
And greater interactivity? I mean, in terms of relating to our mobile devices and actually saying to The Chase, that's rubbish. We shouldn't have The Chase's best yet game show. We should have The Golden Shot or The Sky's the Limit. Or where's Sale of the Century, for goodness sake?
I think even red buttoning's dated now. We've got so much access and so much immediate, seamless access because of the technology that's around these days. Not only can we immerse ourselves in the visual experience, but we're multitasking, obviously, when we're watching these shows at the same time as well. I'm never off my tablet when I'm watching the television, and that's not to say I'm heavily medicated when I'm slumped on my sofa.
Richard, if people are wanting to find out further details about Samsung and indeed this survey, where would you point them?
I'd point them to the Samsung website.
That's what I'd like to hear. Two final questions. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
Yes, I have.
Good.
Indeed.
It's our kind of interactive audio package here, you see.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Exactly. So the next critical thing is, can we persuade you to hopefully return in the not-too-distant future and keep us appraised of your televisual viewing habits?
I'd be delighted. Just send a Honda Civic. I'll be in the back of it.
Feels like I'm running out of gas, so caught up in you. But them brakes won't help me now. I'm getting kinda tired. Hooked on the way you got me going inside. It's crazy how a feeling can last when you don't even try. I still remember when I met you in November. Wish I could've stopped myself from coming over to say hi. Right away you pull me in, now I'm left on my own again, still wondering why. I never wanted to love you. Yeah, whiskey in the sunshine with those tan lines. Nostalgia hits me like a train line running through my head. And I still remember when I met you in November. Wish I could have stopped myself from coming over to say hi. Yeah, right away you pulled me in, now I'm left on my own again, still wondering why. I never wanted to love you.
Officially heard on Siren Radio, as well as that other radio station that indeed one of our Midweek Drivettes was on. That was Late. That was Kevin Maguire. I think it's a round of applause, Shaylee. And guess what? Kevin Maguire is in the airway area now, wave area even. Kevin Maguire, welcome to the programme, the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. Are you well, sir?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
We're very
Scottish.
Good. Did you notice that?
Yes.
Yeah, you see straight in there.
Scottish.
Realise. whereabouts in Scotland do you originate from, Kevin?
I'm from Glasgow, but I'm saying I came from a very rainy Edinburgh this morning.
Oh, I love Edinburgh.
I'm here for the day. Yeah.
Now, we were looking
at... It's a beautiful city.
We were looking at the preview of the video for Late, that obviously we were just revealing there. Which coast was that actually in the backdrop there? Because it looked as though it was a very bleak coast, and I'm thinking maybe west coast of Scotland somewhere?
Mm. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, it was just... it was out near Ayrshire, and it's actually the same beach that we shot the second video at. So this video is kind of a sequel to that video. Very stormy, very dark, and so that kind of carries the vibe of the song.
Yeah. Well, it certainly works for us. Tessa Snart, our country music aficionado and host of the monthly Sound and Country Vision, couldn't be with us, but I can see this being basically a key sort of feature for the whole system. Shaylee, questions for Kevin?
Oh, your music is incredible, and it's very reminiscent of sort of like the noughties, and we were saying it's very like Craig David, and it's just so easy to listen to. Where do you get your inspiration from?
That's a difficult question, because my singing inspiration just comes from being brought up around music. I've always kind of performed and been singing around the house, but the country influence is kind of, that's just something that I've taken myself. I got into country music from a very, very young age. It's something that I used to come home from school, you know, when I was like 12 or 13 years old, look up the country charts for myself and over in the States. So it's kind of come from nowhere. It's just something that I fell in love with, and I just tried to create the songs that I write.
That's really cool.
We can see that if you go to kevinmaguire.com, you can actually stream the brand new single, Late. It's there. You just have to click a button from that perspective. It's just amazing. In fact, I think it's fair to say, Shirley, we really need to like Kevin Maguire on Facebook.
Let's like the page.
Shall we do that? We'll do that now. I'm going to click the button now, Kevin.
Nice.
So if you're ready, it's done. Sorted through. Now we have now officially liked you as far as the Facebook page Kevin Maguire is actually concerned. Country music is undergoing more than a renaissance. It's becoming a kind of go-to genre and really kind of revitalizing so many things here.
It's on the up, I think, definitely.
The CMA Awards, the package from that. What is it in particular that kind of appeals to your good self about the genre? Is it a case of, I can't miss an episode of Nashville, that's the show for me?
No, I mean, to be honest, I think you're right. I think country music is getting a lot bigger, and I think people are realizing that the country music in 2017 doesn't have to be, you know, the likes of Dolly Parton and Johnny Cash and that sort of thing. And whilst those artists are amazing, it's a completely different style of country. You know, country music doesn't have to be like that. It's, for me, country music nowadays is very emotional pop songwriting. You know, people ask me to describe my sound, and I say to them, well, I'll write a song and I'll write it about a story. And, you know, instead of using synthesizers and things like that, I'll use more organic instruments, you know, like banjos and lap steels and that sort of thing. So there's not really much of a difference in country music now than say there was 10, 20, 30 years ago. And I think people are starting to catch on to that and realising that it's a very, very broad genre. And if you give it a chance, you know, the chances are you might like it.
It's a very classic genre, I think. And it like you say, it's not changed in tens of years, so...
Yeah.
It's evolved. It's more than the Hawaiian guitar now with, my dog's up and died, she's left me in the morning, I don't know what I'm going to do, and it's Glasgow town all over the place. And you can have that, actually, if you wish. You work it into the next album, Kevin. I don't know why.
I'll try and do that.
Looking at some of the... I see that, obviously, unless you've got a time machine, you can't go and catch Up Close and Country with Kevin Maguire on October the 27th, because it's gone. But have you got any gigs gearing up for Hogmanay or indeed the new year? Or is it just a case of just check out the website, keep appraised of that, look at the Facebook, look at the Twitter? Jeremy, coordinating things.
Yeah, that's the best. That's the best way to do it. Keep up to date with what I'm doing on social media. We are working on some shows in and around Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
And the chances are that's going to be up in Scotland, in and around Glasgow. So once we get them sorted, we'll get them announced. I've also got a couple of shows happening in February as well. I'm going on tour with Jeff and the Bandits. So we've got a London date and a Glasgow date. That tour was originally supposed to happen a couple of months ago, but it's had to be rescheduled. So those confirmed dates will be up on the website very, very soon. And apart from that, we're trying to get on load of shows at the moment. So it's just a case of not announcing them until they confirm.
No,
so
exactly. Yeah. I mean, the excitement of doing the Midweek Drive Morning Edition sometimes can be a peak that you just want to continue on. I mean, you know, who knows? We might.
Yeah.
You can now actually say the single "Late as Heard" on BBC Radio 2 and Siren Radio now. So
of course.
Connects on those things. Interesting with Jess and the Bandits, of course. That Jess is the only American in Jess and the Bandits. The Bandits are all British. How ironic!
Yeah.
They're based in Norfolk. They've done a couple of sort of key shows, but no, we really do find in terms of wonderment, it's great stuff there. Shaylee, will you be accessing Kevin Maguire on his social? I mean, Instagram's obviously there as well.
Oh, I'm a huge fan of Insta.
Yeah, you've got your Instagram, you've got your Twitter, you've got your Facebook, you've got all those sort of ways forward. Any other questions you want to put to Monsieur Maguire?
None that I can think of at the moment.
Okay.
Apart from, you've definitely got two new fans.
Yep,
thank you, guys.
Conquering the world, one listener at a time. That's the way
forward. Well, you know what? That's the way to do it. I've always said that it doesn't matter whether it's 100,000 people or one person. You know, if that person's interested in your music and buys your music and listens to it, then that's every bit as valuable. So I don't take anyone for granted. The fact that I've continued people here listening to my music, then that's amazing. The only other thing I'd like to say is that obviously Instagram, Facebook, and the website are big things for me, but all the music's on Spotify as well.
Whoa.
So you can check out. I think I've got maybe 5 or 6 originals on Spotify, so please do check that out.
Do you write your music?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Nice.
And Late was probably, Late, you just heard, is probably the first track that I've released that I've produced myself as well.
You're a man of many talents.
Well, given that you've worked with those guys, your next little question, Kevin, is as follows. Would you like Jess and the Bandits singing Ready, Set, or Jess and the Bandits singing Kiss You Now as your kind of farewell this evening? Where are you going to go?
Do you know what? I think Ready, Set. I think because that's a real sort of one to get you going at this time in the morning. I'm not used to these early mornings, so I would always ready for
you and me both.
I did think when I spoke to Jeremy, well, we can offer him 9:30 a.m. on a Thursday morning. I thought, oh, he's a musician. It's going to be very.
He's done.
Nah, that's totally fine. I've got some radio coming up next week at very, very early breakfast show. So this gets me ready for it.
Yes, working through that process. So I take it you've had a reasonably interesting and okay telephonic link with us. Have you enjoyed the last few moments with us on Siren Radio, Kevin?
I have, yeah. It's been fantastic. I need to come on again if you guys will have.
This is the next question.
Nice.
Will you be willing to return on this show or indeed on some of our other shows? I think Tessa, when she hears this, will say we need to.
She's going to be jealous that she wasn't in the studio.
Well, if you will sort of take your third year undergraduate studies, you know, to the extent that you sort of go off and do sort of lectures at the whole set, honestly, sometimes we need to.
What a loser.
It's a way forward. Kevin Maguire, we salute you and your reward as selected by your good self just ahead of Black Friday, of course. Jess and the Bandits, Ready, Set.
Thanks, guys.
Jess and the Bandits and Ready Set. And given the amount of time we've actually spent discussing Black Friday in all its forms on the Madrid Drive Morning Edition this morning, you presumably are ready and set and all geared up for tomorrow. But is it just a marketing gimmick? Is it something that's just put out there to kind of make us spend more money? The only person who can actually save us from such quandaries and questions has to be the legendary, awesome co-founder of the award-winning website skintdad.co.uk. We are speaking only of the fantastic individual who is Naomi Willis. Good morning, Naomi. How are you?
Good morning. That's a lovely introduction. Thank you.
It's all good stuff. Well, Shaylee has already said in the studio she's very impressed with the skintdad.co.uk website.
Definitely.
She's wonderful. So, Naomi, Black Friday. Again, it's happening. We figured that actually, well, we can't celebrate Thanksgiving, but by heck, we can celebrate retail therapy. And as we identify, it's called Black Friday because shopkeepers go into the black and all the rest of the bits and pieces are connected within that. Is it just a marketing gimmick?
You know what? Deep down, it really is. The research that's been carried out by car brand Dacia has actually shown that 67% of people think it is just solely a marketing gimmick aimed at getting people to spend money. And probably at this time of year, money they don't really have to spend on random tech and toys. It's just one of those sales that's just another sale.
Shaylee was sharing with us earlier when we were speaking to another retail expert, Richard Cristofoli, about the kind of things you can get on Black Friday, something which was very sage from your father. It was his view about the best way to approach Black Friday. Would you like to just share it again, Shaylee?
Yeah, so I grew up in quite a frugal household. And basically the one thing that he always said to me was, it's only a discount if you were going to buy it initially. If you weren't going to buy it initially, it's not technically a discount.
Yeah, I totally agree, and that's kind of our mantra as well. If you don't need it, don't buy it.
Yeah,
there's absolutely no point. And it's these brands are just kind of pushing kind of all these deals all the time, and a lot of them just seem too good to be true.
Is it something that we kind of get brainwashed even into? You see, even getting the words in one coherent sentence can be quite challenging at times. And is it that mass media approach whereby suddenly we see people going into this fear of missing out?
It's keeping up with the Joneses, definitely.
Because, I mean, Shaylee, you work in a store. We can't mention it for obvious reasons.
No.
But you're not looking forward to tomorrow, are you, really, as the retail thing? Because the customers can get quite savage. And that's another sort of byproduct, presumably, Naomi, of you know, suddenly you...
It's not all serendipity, is it?
No.
No, I mean, there was one major supermarket who also has a big brand in America who did it one year, and it got so out of hand with the police having to be involved that they haven't done it since.
Oh, wow.
So it's just to the point, I don't know whether it was that reason that they stopped doing it or if they just decided not to, but it just goes to prove that these kind of sales just are just there to try and get people to probably spend money that they don't need to on this kind of thing. It's just having kind of a consistent sale just doesn't bring trust in anybody.
No.
Why do you need to kind of slash your prices if you could just have them at a good price all the time?
A reasonable price.
There was a time, of course, which probably Naomi, you're too young to remember, where we kind of got used to the notion that people would queue outside their department stores for the Boxing Day sales or the Christmas sales and the lines from that perspective.
It's the rise of online, I think.
Yeah. Is that the sort of line that effectively what we're seeing here with phenomena like Black Friday is a way in which not only online pushes this, but also the high street as well goes through the whole process?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's getting involved with Black Friday, so it's being pushed out anywhere. And, you know, one thing we're kind of potentially missing with this Black Friday is that even on Monday, there's Cyber Monday, which is then the online version of Black Friday. But Black Friday now isn't just an online a shopping thing. It is moving online. So it's just everything's blurring into just one big sale all the time.
It also tends to be Black Week Friday as opposed to a whole day. There's usually, lots of stores have been offering a whole thing. I also think it's quite a negative sound as well. You know, Black Friday, it sounds a bit sinister.
Sounds like you're mourning something.
Yeah, yeah. mourning more finance,
mourning
which actually
the
is
loss
going
of
out there.
Cash.
Naomi,
yeah.
What are the tips that you would provide our listener in terms of what's the best way forward? Is it just a case of go into hibernation for a few hours?
Well, a few hours, a few weeks potentially. I mean, the problem is, if you're going to be kind of looking around, a lot of places are going to have the same prices. So if you want to get like an Echo, you think Amazon, but actually you can get them the same price in most of the other retailers. But look around and shop and try and get a voucher code, and you'll actually get it cheaper than you could if you shopped directly from kind of one of the massive retailers. You know, you just, it's just because you think you're getting a sale today doesn't mean that the price isn't going to be cheaper any other time of the year. You know,
exactly.
You've got the Boxing Day sales, you've got sales that run through in Easter, through the summer holidays, and that the pricing today might not actually be cheaper than any other time of the year. So if you've got something on a list that you particularly want, you think you're going to get a deal, then by all means go ahead and do it. But don't just splurge money thinking you're going to get something.
Yeah.
And, you know, hang on to your receipt and check the store returns policy, because if you do buy stuff on impulse, you can hopefully return it back or try and get some store credit.
It literally makes every penny count, just like they say on Skint Dad. Shirley, you had a question about the origins of Skint Dad, I believe.
Yeah, so co-founder of Skint Dad, who is the other half? Is it your husband?
It is my husband, yeah. Ricky is kind of Skint Dad.
Nice.
It just works a way through it, and clearly that's the go-to website. Is there any other location, Naomi, you'd actually say, maybe have a consideration of that, think about the whole system? And I love the line, make money with your old loo rolls.
Yeah.
Whoa. Second-hand loo paper, I wouldn't even want to go there. But, you know,
nice.
maybe there is a solution. Practical web lessons for your child as well. But anywhere else you'd actually point us, or is it pretty much a one-size-fits-all if you want to actually just work our way through this, go to Skint Dad? Yes, Naomi, any sort of final thoughts from yourself?
Any final thoughts? Black Friday,
yes.
Just take it easy. Don't just go and buy a deal because you think you're getting a deal. Be savvy and just try and hide if you haven't got the cash.
Mm. And breathe. That's the important thing. Breathe, just relax. It'll all work out perfectly. We've talked about fast lane shoppers and so on. Hopefully, if you want to catch up, you can always listen to the podcast. It'll actually calm you down. That's the important thing. Naomi, it's been wonderful sharing some thoughts with your good self. We do our usual research now from the programme's perspective. Has it been an okay telephonic link with yourself? Has it been satisfactory?
It's been perfect, loud and clear.
Marvellous. That's what we like to hear, technologically at least. So will you be able to return in the not-too-distant future and keep us appraised of Skint Dad, where every penny counts?
I'd love to, Alex. Welcome back anytime.
Hey! All around me are familiar faces, worn out places, worn out faces, fight and delay for their daily races, going nowhere, their tears are filling up their glasses, no expression, have my head, I want to drown my sorrow. A mad world, although, as the head of news at Siren would say, maybe the more modern version is the better version. Oh, unbelievable. No names, no pack drill. Have you enjoyed the programme? Shaley, as we've gone from Gabriella Peralta in Gibraltar, Richard Fitzwilliams, Phil Leonis in Los Angeles, the slow rage shopping phenomena with Kate Nightingale, Ian Lennox, Richard Christofoli, Richard Arnold, Kevin Maguire, and Naomi Willis.
As always, a pleasure, never a chore.
Marvellous. For folk who are interested in Sound and Nick's Vision with Tessa Snart. Actually, Tessa's not on this volume 33, but Sound and Nick's Vision will be happening just after 7 p.m. this evening. Lots of great stuff on Siren Radio, of course. In a matter of moments, it's Martina Viecha. Used to be a midweek driver, then she blew us out. I don't know why, but still.
Controversial.
I know. Just end with a bit of controversy. We'll be back with next Wednesday's Midweek Drive, in which we'll be speaking to the first man on the scene of the Charles Manson murders, who reported that and broke the news from there. And was photographed with Paul McCartney on the Beatles tour of America.
Oh, I've got it on my ear.
We'll be talking about that on Wednesday, plus a whole heap of other goodies. That's it. Can we all say farewell and happy Thanksgiving Day, and don't get too stressed on Black Friday? We won't say all that phrase. Let's just say goodbye.
Goodbye.